Okay, let's open up our Bibles this morning to John chapter 8. And we're beginning in verse 21. As Jesus continues talking to the scribes and to the Pharisees, and then Jesus said again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he said, where I go, you cannot come. So we see here, you know, mankind, they're talking to Jesus. They've been waiting for the Messiah. They're searching for the Messiah. They're searching for that light, for that truth that comes from knowing God. And mankind truly will look for the Messiah. But we fail. We fail in our own strength to do that. And if turn back to John chapter 3, as long as you're in the Gospel of John anyway, John 3:18. What we have a problem. I mean we, meaning all of mankind. We have a problem. Why is it that we can't, so many of society can't find God? John 3:18 says it for us here. Speaking of the Son of God. He that believes on him. Remember in John 3:16, we just read a few verses before that in John 3:16. It says, "And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Verse 18 begins, "He that believes on him is not condemned. But he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. In other words, they want to hide from the light. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, or discovered, or seen. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, or made known, that they are wrought in God. So we can go back now to John chapter 8, verse 21. So mankind's end, our end, in our own strength, is without the Messiah. Separated from the Messiah, separated from the Lamb of God. And what's happened here is they have been mocking him. They've been mocking the idea that Jesus is the Messiah, even though he's been bringing it to them for a while. And Luke, I just want to read a couple verses to you. Luke 4:22 says, "All bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth." And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" That's one of the problems. They said, "Wait a minute. We're looking for God and we're seeing a guy. We're waiting for the Messiah. And isn't he the one that was born of Joseph and Mary?" And then back in John chapter 1, Philip said, or Nathanael, that can any good thing come out of Nazareth, where Jesus was living at the time? And Philip said something really more profound. It's simple, but it's profound. He said, come and see. And that's what I mean we must do. We must come and see. We can't come under the umbrella of our parents. We can't come under the umbrella of a church. But we each have to come to Christ individually. We have to come and see for ourselves. We have to come and see. And the Jews of that day thought that hell was reserved for suicides, because they all figured they were going to heaven. Certainly they weren't going to follow him to hell, because they weren't going to kill themselves. Verse 23 says, "And he said unto them," now this is probably not words that endear people to one another. He says, "You're from beneath, I'm from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." This again, it shines that light on the futility of mankind and the failure of mankind, men and women, in our own strength to come to the Messiah, to come to Christ. And the first reason here is that our origin is different. Beginning was different. We're all born from man and woman. Christ truly came from a woman, but born of the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like we can't go to where God is going to be, because it would be like a fish out of water. Our body can't survive in the heavenly realm any more than a fish can survive out of water, or we can survive underwater without a scuba tank or some kind of breathing device for very long. We also can't survive in outer space. You look at all the garb these spacemen put on, and full regalia and all. We need a heavenly body. But there's another reason, too. It's because man sins and man dies. Jesus is forever. We know that the wages of sin are death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, and another reason is that man simply doesn't believe. So it's not by doing, or not by not doing. It's in other words, oh, I didn't do enough good deeds, so therefore my good deeds did not weigh my bad deeds. No, it's not that at all. It's because we're not believing. It's not because we're not doing, it's because we're not believing. And what's happened here is this people that he's addressing, the scribes, the Pharisees, and all of those that might be standing around are suffering, pardon me, suffering from an unpardonable sin of unbelief. All other sins are pardonable. There is no other sin that will keep you from the kingdom of God except unbelief. That's unpardonable. Because what it does is it puts them in that spiritual darkness where they want to be because they don't want their sins to be seen. And what... it's interesting because mankind actually, we put ourselves into the bondage of sin. And that's what he's talking about here. Because sin is what the natural man uses to fill that void. That void that occurs in all of us. That sin nature, that void that's in us that can only be satisfied by God. It's an empty void that only God can fill. And we try everything else to do it. Whether it's jobs or people or relationships or money. So here they are. The religious, the ones that are supposed to be the light, the ones that are supposed to be bringing the gospel of Christ to the gospel of the Messiah to a lost and dying world, but they're without the Holy Spirit. They're without the true knowledge of the true God. They're without that revelation that Christ, the one standing before them, would soon die and forgive their sins. They don't know who he is. They're questioning him and they're badgering him. And here is the very one standing in front of them that can forgive their sins. And he's warning them, you better listen to me, because if you don't, you're going to die still in your sins. And you've heard me say it before. The last 5 minutes of life can be really important to some people, because if you haven't come to Christ by then, you better do it then if you have the time and have the wherewithal to do that. Because if not, we die in our sins. And we're forever lost, spiritually separated, eternally separated from God. Verse 25. Then said they unto him, who art thou? Or who are you? Pardon me. And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spoke to me of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And he spoke these words, and as he spoke these words, many believed on him. So there's a failure in the heart of man to understand who this light is. And we see this basic question here. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Why is his name so important? And his reply is simple. I'm who I claim to be. Because mankind, in our own understanding, without that illumination from the Holy Spirit, we'd understand that Jesus is God's spokesman. He's God's judge. He's his mediator. He's the one who brings the message from the Father of the true God. He is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. He is the one, he says here, who is to be lifted up. Now, isn't that interesting? In John 3:14, Jesus said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's talking about his being lifted up on the cross. He's the great I Am. He's the Son of God himself. Peter, in Acts 5:30, said, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree." He's the one who God never left alone. God sent him. God is always with Jesus. Jesus is always here to please God. Always. And look at the conclusion of all this. Many believed. We don't know. You know, we're to share the gospel. We're to present it. But don't be disappointed. I mean, well, it's hard not to be disappointed, but that our responsibility is not the salvation of souls. It's to share truth. So when you share truth, fruit will come from it. You may not see it at that time. You may. Sometimes it's after several waterings of other people speaking to a person before they get saved. Sometimes not. But we're to do what we're called to do, which is to share the gospel, and God does his part to seek and to save that which is lost. In verse 31, pardon me. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, 'If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.'" So we see here a condition for freedom from sin. A lot of times people may not see that as a conditional item. It's condition. The condition here is believing and abiding. We can believe that he is the Son of God and abide in his word. Interesting, he says, "If you continue in my word." Now, back in John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, the same as in the beginning with God." That word is logos. The word here is logos. If you continue in my word, that doesn't mean that if you don't read your Bible every day, you're going to be lost. What it means is you continue in my word is Jesus. My word is the Savior. My word is the Messiah. You got to continue in that. You should be reading the Word also, because it tells about the Word, Jesus Christ. But the freedom from sin is conditional, which is abiding in Christ. And the result, we'll know the truth. Because the truth is in the Word of God. The truth is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word, and he is truth. And then we're made free. What a wonderful freedom it is to be in Christ. To know that if a plane were to crash on this building right now, It's not a word from the Lord. It's not a premonition or anything like that. I know where I'd be in an hour, in 2 hours, in a day, forever. It makes me free knowing that truth. It's awesome. Verse 33, "And they answered him, 'We be of Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?' And Jesus answered them, 'Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed.'" Here's more addressing that enslavement, that bondage we have to sin. It has to do with man's denial of who we really are. Because they're claiming a godly heritage here, a godly heritage through Abram, in that denial that, well, we're not in bondage to anybody. Well, at that time, they happened to be in occupied territory. Romans had conquered them. They had been enslaved by the Egyptians at one point in time. To say that they've never been in bondage to any man, that's pretty silly. But, you know, sin has a way of distorting truth and raising a lie up to be the truth. I like what it says in Romans 6:16. The Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write this. "Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." And you know, God has put our conscience in us, our understanding of God's word, and every time we're about to sin, in 99.9% of the cases, I'm certain we know it. And what we should be seeing is, boom, a yield sign should come up. What are you going to yield to? Are you going to yield to the sin? Or are you going to yield to the Spirit of God that tells you what direction to go in? So I pray that yield sign would be something that would pop up for each of us, you know, when we're about to have that thought or to make that move or whatever it should be. Yield to the Spirit of God. And he gives us a proof of why we're enslaved to sin. Well, we commit sin. You can say, well, yeah, I sin, but I'm not a slave. Okay, then just don't then. Well, I can't don't. I can't not. Well, then you're a slave to it. Well, no, most of the time I can quit. No, most of the time I won't do that. Well, then you're still a slave to it. If you give into it now and then, it still holds. It's got that hook. It controls you. And he makes an interesting observation. He says, you know, a slave is not free even within his own household. I'm talking about servants in that day and slaves in that day. But the son can make him free. And even though we might be held slaves in our own households to the bondage of sin, the Son of God can set us free. I hope that makes sense. Verse 37. I know. So they're claiming, hey, we're from Abraham. Jesus says, I know you're of Abraham's seed. But you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. And they answered unto him, and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this Abraham did not do. He's saying, you know, you're giving me capital punishment for truth. And Jesus says, I know you're from Abraham. I know your biological descendants from Abraham, but you need to be more. You need to be a spiritual descendant of Abraham. Genesis 15, verses 5 and 6 says that that God brought Abraham forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven and count the stars, if you're able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. In other words, your descendants. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now, the descendants of Abraham physically, the people aren't enough to amount to all the stars, or they're not countless. But the spiritual descendants are countless, because we're the ones that believe in God, and God accounts that to us for righteousness. So it's not the biological seed that Jesus is talking about here, but the spiritual seed through the Messiah. So here's another proof here that a man is enslaved to sin because we oppose God's word. It says that they made no room in their heart for Jesus' words. Remember when he was born, there was no room at the inn. And now as we walk around, we look around our world today and there are a lot of hearts that have no room for Jesus. And another proof that we're enslaved to sin, he shows it here that man follows the wrong father. The devil, in fact. And John, in his 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So that's what's in the world. That's where that enslavement of sin comes, not from the Lord, but from the world. And another proof here that we're enslaved to sin. He says here that you're failing to do the works of Abraham. You're claiming that he's your dad, your grandpa, your great-grandpa, whatever that is, but you're not doing what he does. He was a righteous man. When a messenger of truth came to Abraham, he didn't try to kill him. That's what you're doing. Here I stand before you giving you truth and you want to kill me? Abraham believed the truth. And that truth of the Messiah to come through his lineage was his righteousness, because God told him and he believed it. And then verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. Why are they saying you were born of fornication? It's a reference to back when Jesus was born, that his father was in question. And they thought they didn't believe the Holy Spirit was the father. They thought Joseph and Mary had relations outside of marriage, conceived Jesus, and he was conceived outside of wedlock. And they're saying we're direct descendants of Abraham, not of some concubine this Joseph had. Says, we have one Father, it's God. And yet, they want to kill the Son of God. This is spoken from a boastful religious, self-righteous heart that's not seeking truth, but it really represents our nature, our human nature, the natural man, the natural woman today. Many, I'm not talking about you in here necessarily. Sometimes I have my moments, you know, but self-righteous, self-confident, in rebellion against God. And Jesus is basically saying, wait a minute. You claim to be children of the Father. I'm telling you the things that the Father says. Why are these a mystery to you? This is a real challenge to the self-righteous Pharisees and scribes that are supposed to know the Word of God. The problem is they fell into that 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14 says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them for they are spiritually discerned. And that's what he's saying to them. You understand the natural world. Yeah, you do. You just don't get the spiritual side. And here's man's depravity again, looking at the physical things, the depravity are the illegitimate birth of Christ, and while claiming that God and Abraham are their father. It's a way of saying, well, I'm spiritual. I'm spiritual. I must be from God because I understand spirit things. And here's another proof of man's depravity in our illegitimate birth, in a sense, because we're only born physically and not spiritually. Spiritually dead we're born, that we don't love Christ from the beginning. We don't believe necessarily until God opens our eyes through His Spirit that Christ came from God, that Christ was sent by God. And they didn't understand the words of Christ. And didn't even much of the world today doesn't understand the claims of Christ. And in verse 44, you are of your father the devil. Can you imagine how that went over to the religious leaders? You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. How do you know when the devil's lying? When he's talking. As soon as he opens his mouth in Scripture or anywhere, you know, if he's whispering in your ear. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? That word convinces really means to convict, to rebuke, or to shame me into sin. Who can convince me of sin or convict me of sin or of shame me of into sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. And here's more proof of man's depravity and fallen condition. Satan and man both lust. We both have idols. Satan and man murder. Satan and man don't live in the truth of our own understanding. Satan and man lie. And another man's depravity here is shown because we don't see in our own understanding that Christ is sinless. And they don't see it at this time, that he is God. Still don't believe that. Man is sinful. We're not God. Even though people tell you, oh, there's a little bit of God in all of us. Well, if the Holy Spirit's in you, I had someone say that to me recently. There's a little bit of God in all of us. I believe that. Well, if the Holy Spirit's in you, there's a God in you. If not, you need to repent. And verse 48. And if we don't have the Spirit of God in us, we won't hear the words of God in the same way. I mean, he draws us. Okay. Verse 48. And then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, hast a devil? He's being accused of two things here. You're a Samaritan, you're devil, demon possessed. Jesus answered and said, I have not a devil. But I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeks and judges. They're getting mad, okay? They're getting mad at him. They're sick of this guy that's saying to them, you know what? You're in bondage to sin. You're a slave of sin. You're a servant to sin. You're going to die in your sin. You're not Abraham's kids. You're not God's children. In fact, your father's the devil. He's not making friends very fast, is he? One of the things Jesus hates the most is hypocrisy. And they lose their temper. And they started insulting him. Oh, yeah? Well, yeah? Well, then you're a Samaritan. You're not a true Jew. I don't know what else to say, but you're a Samaritan. You're a little better than the heathen and not a true Jew in their eyes. You know, because the Samaritans had intermarried and intermingled, and they were not looked at as true Jews. Not only that, but you have a devil. You have a demon. You got a proud and lying spirit, and your spirit comes from the devil and not from God. It's really your power here is comes from Satan and not from God. So here's Jesus giving out truth, and what he gets, what does he get back? Anger, insults, mockery. If this happens to you, don't be discouraged. Probably on the right track. You ever heard the expression, throw a stone in a pack of dogs, and the one that yelps is the one that got hit. Okay, so if you get a strong response, that means something's touching someone's heart. Be surprised how many opportunities you get to share as just as you're walking about. So remember, though, that our Lord walked this earth. He was beaten. He was insulted. He was mocked. He was doubted. He was challenged. His beard ripped out. He was nailed to a cross. He understands our pain. He understands our discomfort. Whatever we have to take to him in prayer, he understands. Because he's been here. He's been there in those painful situations. And he makes it clear here that his purpose is to honor God. And that Jesus' honor is God's concern also. Verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying. Now this word saying here is also logos. Keep my word. He shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead. And the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? So, keep my saying is in really in harmony with verse 31, which says, continue in my word. Keep my word, continue in my word. Then are you disciples indeed. It doesn't mean I have to read a certain number of verses each day in order to stay a disciple. It means that the love of God is pouring out of me so much that I want to read it. And it shows that I am a disciple. And then he says, you keep my saying, you keep my word in you, Jesus in you, the hope of glory. You keep my word, never see death. You know, it's all compatible with if you're born again, you know, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead and you will be saved. It's all compatible here. Keep my word, continue in his word, and that's evidence that you're a disciple. Now look what Ephesians 3 verse 4 says, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. And then don't just read. I love to read and ponder over. Study his word. 2 Timothy 2:15 should be highlighted and circled in red. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly or correctly dividing the word of truth. Keep his word. Thy word, Psalm 119 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee and then never see death. They speak of physical death. He speaks of spiritual death. So they ask, who do you think you are? You know, they didn't understand who he was. They had to ask who he thought he was because they didn't know who he was. We know that God honored Jesus at birth. Remember that heavenly choir that came down and scared the shepherds so that they weren't running into town to tell everybody soon afterwards? At that point in time, they were herald him as Christ the Lord. Some short time after infancy in the first few years, I'm not certain of the timetable, but he sent wise men from the east bearing gifts. Some think it was at his birth, and we see them at the manger scene. I'm convinced he was a little older, but not an important point. God still proclaimed him as Lord. At the baptism, proclaimed him as beloved son. At the ascension, when he rose, and the apostles were standing there watching, there he is, exalted to the right hand of God. God will honor him at the final judgment when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And then the final verses here, verse 54. Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." And I think he's speaking of that appearance of Melchizedek to Abraham at the tent back in Genesis. And then the Jews said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" And Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. The redeemed in Christ will honor him throughout all of eternity, for worthy is the Lamb to receive honor and glory. He's saying, if I were to deny my Father at this point in time, I'd be a liar. As much a liar as you are for pretending to know him when you really don't know him. As much a liar as you are, he's talking to these Pharisees and scribes, to say that you're a descendant of Abraham when you're only talking about the physical descendancy, and I'm speaking of something spiritual much more important. He did say, keep his saying. Stay obedient to his death on the cross, obedient to Christ's life in him. And if we really know the Father, it will show its evidence by our subjection to his word. Abraham was promised by God in Genesis 22:18, "In thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." He's not speaking just to Jews, but all nations. That includes America today. In Exodus 3:14, God said to Moses, "I am that I am." He had asked, "Who should I tell the people that you are?" He said, "I am that I am. Thus shalt you say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you." The sin of man has been exposed here by Jesus. The natural or the unsaved have no good in themselves. They're slaves to sin, they're captives of Satan and to sin, cannot please God. And Jesus has been telling these Jews, you're a servant of sin. You'll die in your sins. You're not Abraham's children. You're not God's children. In fact, your father's the devil. Tough words. But Jesus is showing his authority. You know, people say, well, Jesus, he's a great teacher. I want to just follow his principles. Well, he's a good moralist, some will say. Listen to the things that he says. You can't say such little things about him. And I raise up the lunatic and Lord scenario. He's either Lord. He says he's Lord. He's of the Father. He says he's that. And if he isn't, he says things that make him a lunatic. So you got to decide. He's either a lunatic or the Lord. And when I see the evidence in the Bible of what Jesus has done, it's no lunatic. He claims to be the Son of God, the one who came to seek and to save that which is lost. Let's stand and pray. Lord, how powerful are the words of Christ. He leaves no room for fence riders. We're either with him or against him. We're either gathering into the kingdom or scattering abroad. Those are words of Christ. And the things he said can't be a mere man. They've got to be more. So, Lord, we give you all the glory for anything we might be, Lord. For it's all in your hands. Trust you. We yield to you, to the Lord of glory. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Gail's son Greg is here, and their little baby has a birthday today. Isn't that sweet? Yeah. And